Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to MRSN, the Michigan Regional Sports Network.
It's time to enter the locker room. The Coach's Show of Michigan Admirals Minor League Football.
And protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
I think so. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the locker room on Blog Talk Radio and Ucaster. I'm Donald Matthews, the host of the show, along with my co-hosts who join me every week here on the locker room. First of all, I'm going to flip the order this time. First of all, the legendary Lon Truck Turner, who I don't have on the air yet. Hang on a second. I thought I had him on the air, and I didn't get him. Now, Lon, you're on the air now, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought I was on the air in the first place.
Yeah, I thought you were, too, but you know you need to get rid of that phone, son.
Why?
Get rid of that jacked up phone.
Hey, my phone is my phone. Ain't nothing wrong with my phone, man. Nothing wrong
with
All
right. And also, Bill Schnornberg is on the line. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, see, I could blade you like McCabe blade Obama calling him that person last night.
What kind of crap was that?
I have no idea. So he couldn't say, and I wish you'd stay on the back of the bus so none of this would be happening to me.
You know, I really wasn't going to go there because it's not a political show or anything like that, and I'm not going to tell people who to vote for and everything. But the honest thing is, I'm a little too thin-skinned, but I was really offended by that.
It made me sit up because I could not believe
you know, it wasn't so much racial, you know, it may be or it may not be. But he just refuses to give the man any kind of respect that he deserves just for being a candidate for president. He refused to give him that kind of respect.
Well, we've talked before, and it's coming. His people are already saying, using ludicrous rap song by saying he's going to turn the White House black. It's coming now because they know the only way that they're going to do it now is to scare people. It's coming.
I am really hoping that this country has come far enough to elect a president on what they say and what they say they're going to do, and not just solely look at one thing. You know, there's going to be people that are going to vote that are going to do that. You know, that's never ever going to go away. But I'm hoping that we have progressed to that point, and, you know, and we'll see. You know, I always have something in the back of my head that people say they're going to do one thing, and then they're going to go into, you know, pull the curtain on election day. That I can't do it. I just can't do it. So we'll see.
Break it down. What first lady would you rather look at, McCain's or Obama's?
I told you I ain't going. This is not a political show. And you are
I know. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
You are trying real hard to make it one. I know you're going to be, as the closer we get to Election Day, I know that you're going to try even harder. But the one thing I will say that is mildly political here is that I hope that everybody within the sound of my voice is registered to vote. And speaking as an African American, I think this is the most important election ever. And too many people have went through too much crap and have lost their lives to give us as African Americans the right to make this decision. And the least that we can do is to exercise it. I'm off my soapbox. box now. Before we get to some business tonight, our usual business, there's a couple things that I want to bring up. First of all, our network, the Michigan Regional Sports Network, is blowing up, right, Bill?
Indeed it is.
I did not expect anything like this. It is blowing up by leaps and bounds here. Of course, Friday night we'll have our continuing coverage of high school football, our Friday night football, when we have Midland Dow at Flushing at 6:45 p.m. But Saturday and Sunday, we will be starting a brand new venture on MRSN. I do that once every week, where we'll be starting hockey coverage. We'll be broadcasting hockey from the Central States Hockey League. That is a junior A league. The players on that team are 20 years and below. And you know, they're trying to learn the ropes of hockey and perhaps move up through the minor leagues from that. And we'll do selected games with the Metro Jets out of Waterford, and also the Flint Junior Generals here in Flint. And I can say that the Metro Jets, Bill, they're doing it right.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty much on the ball about everything, the things that I've heard about them so far. They're very thorough, and they're on the ball.
And they're really seem to be really enthusiastic about having us do a few of their ball games. You know, a lot of people saw today that on the Metro Jets website, there's a press release. And I just found out a little while ago, it's also on the Central States Hockey League website. So everybody's looking for you, Bill.
Well, usually everyone is, just not the right people sometimes.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to watching you do a hockey game because, you know, it's interesting. I think hockey announcing is the most difficult announcing that you can do.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. I just wonder if they're going to have any Labatt or any Molson up in the press box.
Well, you know, we'll see. But
I'm not going to have Don Cherry, though, so.
That's true. I will be doing the stuff at the intermissions there. We'll be giving scores and statistics and things like that. So, you know, I will be around during the broadcast to give Bill some rest in between periods. So I look forward to that. Saturday is the Queen City Steam and the Metro Jets. The Queen City Steam is out of Cincinnati, Ohio. That game will start at 7:45. Actually, we'll come on air at 7:45. Face-off is at 7:50. And the next day, Sunday, the Queen City team comes up for U.S. 23 to face the Flint Junior Generals, and we'll be on air on MRSN at 2:15 with the face-off coming at 2:20. The other thing I wanted to bring up before we get to our regular stuff tonight, we've started, I think in the last few days, a drive for one of our former players, Charleston Hughes, who's having just a magnificent year as a defensive end with the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL, and they have opened all-star voting, and anybody can vote for all-stars in the CFL. And we have a link on the Michigan Admirals website, michiganadmirals.com, where you can click on that and vote for Charleston Hughes to be a Canadian Football League all-star. I think he richly deserves it, and we're going to mention this a couple, maybe three times tonight, so people that are jumping into the show later on in the show be able to do that. Charleston had a magnificent year for us. Last year was a league all-star, honorable mention All-American, a four-time All-American at Northwood University, and, you know, plus he's a heck of a guy.
Yeah, I miss old Northwood. I miss him. That was my buddy.
I know. You know, that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up was that you and Charleston, you know, you were particularly good friends, and I know you're going to going to do your part to make sure that he gets on the All-Star team. You can vote once a day per computer, all right? So every day, everybody within the sound of my voice, go click on the link on MichiganAdmirals.com and vote for Charleston Hughes for CFL All-Star. He is listed under the defensive ends on the Western Conference. All right? All right. Let's get to work now. First thing I want to bring up is the WNBA Championship Series. The San Antonio Silver Stars got shot. Didn't come close to winning the game. It was it was an annihilation by the Detroit Shock. And Bill was at Game 3, which turned out to be the final game at the Convocation Center in Ypsilanti. First of all, Bill, what was the atmosphere like that game? Was it as loud as it seemed on television?
It was insane. I could not believe how loud that arena was. I've been in there for Eastern Michigan women's basketball games, and it wasn't even half filled. It was loud. That place was so loud in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was insane. Mind you, the fact that when I walked in the building, I thought the three women that were in the Silver Star vest were going to kick my ass, and I was scared. But I never heard an arena, small arena, that loud. It was so loud in there in the fourth quarter.
What did you think that was the keys to this series? And really, what do you think was the keys to the what the Shock did that after the Olympic break? We all remember the fight that they had with the Los Angeles Sparks was right before the Olympic break, and they lost Cheryl Ford in that fight, and then they limped into the Olympic break, losing like 3-4 in a row. But what in your mind was what turned things around?
When they made that trade, I think that just opened everything up. After seeing her in person, Katie Smith and Deanna Nolan have the best jump shots. I mean, a lot of NBA players should take shooting lessons from them too. I mean, Katie Smith will spot up from everywhere, and her jump shot just looks so pure. But I think, and I hope he's successful, but if Michael Curry does not work out and the Pistons do not hire Bill Laimbeer, then there is something seriously wrong, and they really just don't like him. And now, mind you, Bill Laimbeer may not want to go, but just watching him coach and the adjustments he made in every game, San Antonio had no answer for Detroit. And when they tried to stop Katie Smith and Deanna Nolan, they went inside. When they went inside to try to stop it, he changed the lineup, put it with three guards and small guards, and would press a little and shoot. He is impressing me more as a coach every year of what he does.
Mildly surprising to me. I did not think, and you know, I'll be the first one to say this. I did not think that he would be this good as a coach, especially with women, knowing how demanding and impatient Laimbeer can be. When they first hired him, I thought it was just a publicity stunt to keep the franchise afloat for one more year. But he has turned out to be one hell of a coach.
Well, I think the reason why it works more with women is because it's like John Wood said, that is more of a pure form of basketball. You have to run screens. You have to run a truer offense with women than you do men, because men will try and take the ball to the basket and dunk every time. You have to run plays and coach women. Not taking any away from the men's game. The men's game is a clear out, drive the basket. If it's not open, kick it out. You have to run plays and execute in the WNBA more than you do in the NBA. And that is why I think he will make a good coach. When he did it, and I was like, oh, Bill Laimbeer's a coach, I wonder what is up with this. And just listening to his first press conference, I was interested. I was like, gosh, he could be successful. Now, mind you, when they signed Nancy Lieberman this year, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? I mean, what is this? This has turned into a joke. But then they made that trade, and they got players to play well. They would have beat, if they had if Tonette Pearson was healthy with a healthy shoulder, she played, I would say, maybe 12 minutes in game three and still dominated with a terrible shoulder. But if they had Cheryl Ford and Pearson healthy and Braxton and McWilliams Franklin, they would have killed them. It would have been not even close in all three games, and they still killed them. They would have beaten them by 25 points every game if they had everyone healthy.
Lionel, your thoughts?
You know, I'm the shock, that's what, 3 and 6 years now? You know,
that's
they're
right.
starting to look a bit like a little, like could be a dynasty, you know? I mean, hopefully Bill Laimbeer stays put and they keep letting him, providing him with the tools that he needs to be successful. I mean, but those girls, like, you know, Bill was saying, and I've said this for years, I mean, even NCAA tournament time, I watch more of the women's tournament than I do of the men's because it's a pure form. There's more skill involved, you know, not what there's maybe, what, three women, four women in the world that can dunk. So, I mean, you know, it's you see the pure-looking jump shots. You see the screens run and everything like that. So I tend to watch more women's basketball than I do men's. And, you know, I have to agree with the Bill Laimbeer thing. You know, I was kind of like, yeah, okay. But he got them to that next level. And he got them at that level.
The thing I think with the shock is that Mr. Davidson and Tom Wilson just turned the keys over to Bill Laimbeer. Everything that has been done with that basketball team is what he wants done. You know, I don't think, I know for a fact with the NBA team, he will not have that kind of total control and therefore may not be as successful. He's made the right moves. He's gotten the right players. I'm like you, Bill, when they signed Nancy Lieberman, I always thought it was a publicity stunt, but it turned out to be just a bridge. We need somebody to fill a roster spot for a couple games. And then get to the Olympic break, and then we're going to make a trade in the Olympic break.
And, you know, and the thing, who's the player that he got rid of this year? It was one of the big stars. I can't remember her name.
Well,
right,
Squid Cass. And I hope she's in Seattle going, oh, what did I do? It proves that, one, let's remember this, and I know a lot of people don't watch women's basketball. You only watch a few teams. But you know what? The girls from Connecticut, 95% of them are some stuck-up bitches. Or they're dirty. I mean, let's be real about this. Diana Taurasi is a dirty basketball player, and Swin Cash is stuck up and thinks she's God's gift to women's basketball. And she's like, I don't want to play here. I don't like Bill Laimbeer. He's like, fine, get out of here. See ya. Go to Seattle. Never be heard from again.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, with the men's team, he wouldn't have that option to say, okay, you know what, you don't want to be here, bye, go. Not with the quickness that it was done. You know, there'd be contract and trade and set, you know, and all that junk. And Bill Laimbeer was like, okay, you don't want to be here, bye. You know, and I think that speaks volumes for him as a coach, because it's like the whole thing with the Tom Coughlin and Plexico Burris thing. The team comes first. If one player isn't doing what's right for the team or doesn't want to be here, isn't going to be productive and help the team, you can leave. You can kick rocks. And that's what I think is needed more out of coaches these days.
You know, I agree with that 100%, but not everybody, in fact, very few people have that kind of total control that we're talking about to be able to do that and to feel comfortable. Do you think that for a second that Wade Phillips can discipline T.O. without Jerry Jones coming down on his ass?
Jerry Jones can't even stay off the sidelines.
So, well, you know, but that's what I'm saying. You know,
there's no way.
It's seldom that a coach or even a general manager has that kind of total control over a team where I can bring somebody in if I want. I can let somebody go if they want. And, you know, to have that kind of trust going back and forth between Laimbeer and Davidson and Tom Wilson, that, you know, that is invaluable, and you just don't see that very often.
No, and actually, and I think, honestly, there needs to be more of it. I mean, just my opinion. I think if the right coaches have that kind of power, then it's only going to make, you know, this their team and overall the league better. That's the way I look at it, though.
But, hey, you know that I'm also like Bill that the I thought the turning point was at the Olympic break when they traded for Taj McWilliams Franklin and this team is not as good as it can be because of the injuries to Ford and Pearson. Just think what's going to happen next year when you have Cheryl Ford back at the four spot. And you know, you could probably going to move Katie Smith, who I think is the woman, even though she went to the Ohio State Penitentiary. But move Katie Smith to the one spot and Tweedy Nolan at two. And, well, you know, just think of how much of an improvement that team will be from the team that you saw on the floor on Sunday.
See, and, you know, having followed the Shocking, like I said, I went to a lot of the early games. You know, the beginnings of, and the WNBA on the whole is just, it seems like it's going in the right direction because in the beginning it was all Houston. You know, it was Houston. Cheryl Swoops, you know, I can't think of her name. What's the other? Oh, God. Doggy.
Cynthia Cooper and Tina Thompson.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I knew it started with a C. But, I mean, they were just dominant, and a lot of people just looked at it like, oh, you know, well, what's the point? You know, it's going to be Houston every year. But they've expanded the way that they handle free agency and everything else is, I think, a very good model of how to run a league. I mean, their expansion, it wasn't huge. They didn't add four, you know, six, eight, ten teams at a time. They had a team here, two teams there. And it's made the league better. And now you're not starting to see, you know, with the exception of the Shock over the last 6 years, you're not seeing that dominance. I mean, it was either Houston or L.A. for the first, I don't know how many years of the league. And
yeah,
now
Houston won the first four.
Yeah, so now it's starting to get spread out. You know, Detroit's winning it. I think they have a very good model for the way leagues should be run.
Last thing we're going to say on this subject, and once again, congratulations to the Detroit Shock for winning their third title in 6 years. I guess the address of the Palace is going to change again. But what is more impressive to you, the 3 and 6 years that the Shock have done, or the four at the beginning of it with the Houston Comets?
I think now it's more impressive because the talent is so much more spread out. I mean, Houston was just, I mean, and I remember going to see Houston play the Shock at the Palace and just, I mean, just watching them whoop on Detroit. I mean, it's just like, this isn't even fair. And now, you know, people are spread out. You know, you aren't having people stay with one team. I mean, there's a few that have started with one team and gone on, but the talent overall has gotten better over the years. And I think now it's more impressive to Shock with what they've done just because the league has grown. It's not, you know, all the talent isn't concentrated in one team anymore.
Bill, what's your
I would think too, like Lottie, it's a lot of parity now in the league. They're doing their best to spread the better players around, to get them on teams where you have at least a couple. But really, if you think about it, they should have won 4 and 6 because last year they choked. They choked at home last year. And they should have beaten Phoenix. They were a better team than Phoenix last year, but two, they had people injured. And that's the thing that hurt them. But there's really no doubt that if they have everyone healthy, that they are still the best team in the league. They're better than L.A. They're better than San Antonio. I mean, Lob's girl Becky Hammond was 1-10 on Sunday. She could not get anything going. But Young on that team, she's impressive. But after that, they did not have anybody to answer Detroit.
I think what the Shock has done is more is better in my mind for one simple reason. You know, your reasons are very good and they're factors, but I think the main reason is that the playoff format is different. You know, back when they started, it was like a tournament. You know, one loss and you're done. And the championship game was a championship game. It wasn't a championship series. Now you have to run the gauntlet, best of three, best of five, and usually the best team wins those. You know, every now and then there's a little Cinderella that comes in series like that. But, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from Houston. Houston was a very dominant team in the beginnings of the league. But, you know, you really don't account for the fact that, you know, maybe a team that comes in like New York was early on, you know, New York always would fall just short. Were they as good as the Houston Comets, or was the Comets just good on that day, you know?
I think a healthy Detroit team now would beat the Houston team that won the four titles.
And I do want to say before we move on that for those people, and there are a lot of people out there that do this, but for those that hate on the WNBA or diss the WNBA, and as one guy said on the internet last night, that he can get him and four guys off the street and beat a WNBA team. You are delusional. You are dreaming. Seriously. There is not, I mean, you know, I can get a high school team to beat. No, you can't. These girls are good, they're talented, and they're fundamentally sound. The only thing that they can't do is dunk, and for the most part.
I tell you what, I think that you could take Deanna Dolan and Katie Smith and go to any gym and get them to get three guys. Pick up three guys, and they will win 90% of the time.
I agree with that. I really firmly believe that. We're going to stick with basketball with this next subject. And those of you that haven't heard that the Elgin Baylor is stepping down as the general manager and vice president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Clippers. He's done it for, 24 years, I believe. One of the greatest players in NBA history for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm saying this right now, and this is nothing I haven't said before on this show. He is the worst basketball executive ever, and how he kept his job for 24 friggin' years is just beyond me.
Well, doesn't it prove right there that Donald Sterling does not give a crap about basketball? That man, and like it or not, he is the Matt Millen of the WNBA. He's worse than Matt Millen. He had his job almost 20 years. They did not make the playoffs 18 out of 20 years that he was in charge.
Enough said about that, really.
Yeah, and I wanted the same thing. It's like, you know, when I heard that, I was like, how long he'd had that job? And it's just, you know, how long have the Clippers been bad? I mean, not just bad.
I mean, did you realize that he had the job? When he got fired, did you go, wow, Elgin Baylor was with the Clippers still? Didn't you think he's been gone for like a few years?
Well, he didn't get fired. He walked away on his own.
Yeah, but when you saw it, did you go, oh, I didn't know he was still with the team? Didn't you think that for a second?
No, I knew. Always knew he was on the team because I've never had nothing good to say about his managerial skills. I mean, all the people that have come through the paperclips and have went on to have good careers after they leave, all the great players that they have had that have went on and had very good careers. I mean, that's a sad franchise. I mean, that is one of the worst franchises in sports, right up there with the Detroit Lions and the Oakland Raiders. Talk to me.
I'm not arguing with you.
You know, not everybody that plays can coach. Magic Johnson proved that. Not everybody that plays can manage a team. People like Joe Dumars are the exception to the rule.
Well, now, let's Joe has not done everything right now. I mean, his son is
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying that.
But he knows how to put together a whole complete package. He's made some good draft picks. He's also made some ones that you go, huh?
Now, I'm not saying that Joe Dumars has done everything right as an executive, but you look at the whole body of work of what he has done since he became the executive of the Detroit Pistons. You have to admit it's pretty good. This is a team that's won one NBA title and has been in the Eastern Conference Finals for umpteen years. They have achieved a level of excellence. Them, the Shock, the Red Wings, you know, every Detroit team except for the Lions, I guess, they have these expectations. And their expectation is to win. Their expectation is to go far into the playoffs. And, you know, and that's where these other teams and the Detroit Lions, that's where they part company. The only thing that the Lions are concerned with and Bill Ford is concerned with is making money.
Now, we can break it down and jump around here and make it real simple. But you know, people are still going to go to Ford Field. People are still going to go because, one, you're going to get people to go watch the Lions, one, who have never been down there before, two, who like the other teams. If they really want to get the Fords back, it's not about staying away because a lot of people are not going to eat tickets. They're not going to spend that kind of money and say, well, I'm not going. I'm not losing the money. Go there and cheer for the other team. That would piss them off more. If you turn into a visiting game for the Lions and cheer for the other team, that would piss them off way more than not showing up.
But
that's more embarrassing.
I don't know if that would work because there's still going to be butts in the seats. They're still going
to
make money.
You're not going to get people just to totally stop going when they paid that much money.
Oh, yeah.
People are, for now, for the time being, there are always going to be people who want to go because you got teams that are so close, Chicago and Green Bay, where people cannot get tickets to those teams. So they're definitely going to come in and want to watch. They're going. Those people are going to come and watch. It's the people who go down there and just like football. Then you have the people who are Lions fans that think that, oh, yeah, they're going to get out of this, who are just clueless. The other teams don't have that problem. The Palace probably has, tonight looks like 15,000 people for a freaking exhibition game because they expect them to play well. The same thing with the Red Wings. They don't expect anything less. The Lions, who freaking knows what they're doing? And that's why it's just a cluster you-know-what every year with them. Did you see their so?
And it didn't, get any worse than it did Sunday. I mean, they were down 31-0 before you knew what happened.
You know, and Sunday proved to me that Roy Williams is a bigger crybaby than T.O. and Chad Johnson put together.
But why would you? I mean, I could see part of him complaining because let's think about this. What they did was they were like, we're going to go get these wide receivers. And then Marinelli comes in and goes, well, we're going to be a running team. Why would you do that? Why would you say we're going to pound the football when you got Calvin Johnson and Roy Williams? And then you draft a quarterback who can't throw. I watched 40 seconds of the game, and only thing I needed to see Sunday before I left to go to the Shock was when Kitna changed the play at the line of scrimmage and threw the ball 20 yards behind Calvin Johnson. That's all I needed to see. You had a week off, and that's the best you could do in the first series you get the ball? The second series, rather?
Yeah, I mean, even at that, how long has Kitna and I mean, this is Calvin Johnson's, what, second year? Okay, fine. But he and Roy Williams had communications. Miscommunications like that. they've been together for, what, 3 years now? Those type of miscommunications shouldn't happen. And like you said, even then having a bye week on top of that, you know, but just Roy Williams just kind of, he just kind of, he disappointed me something because he just, he looked like he just gave up, like he just didn't care. He's like, oh, well, you know what? He caught a first down pass and walked off the field and went and sat on the bench.
You know, we joke that who would really want the Raiders job, but think about this. What person in their right mind is going to want to work for the Fords? I mean, it's
because
like,
you know what? You got a great point because you know what? The Detroit Lions is a coach killer. Name me one coach who has left the Detroit Lions and has gotten another head coaching job in the National Football League.
I can tell you, interim coach that got a job.
Yeah, interim coach, that's a caretaker.
Well, but look, he had a chance to keep the job, and Bill's like, we don't want you. Now he's in Buffalo, and they're, what, 5-1? 4-1?
That was the best thing
I
for
still,
him. If he had stayed in Detroit, they chewed him up and spit him out, too.
I still think, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think that they really missed the boat. It went downhill 8 years ago when Gary Moeller was here and they didn't give him the job. He had the right kind of offense, the right kind of temperament for them, and then you got Dork, 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 and Dork. Yeah, Dork or us.
I can't tell you a former Lions head coach that you even hear of anymore. It's like they all go into witness protection or something.
Well, I'll tell you this. Marty Mortyway's a good offensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a better coordinator than he is a head coach. He got hit over his head. He's a better coordinator than a coach.
Much like Marinelli is. Marinelli's over his head. And the stress is starting to show. Did you see his press conference on Monday?
He will not quit. And he can't quit because if he quits, he don't get paid. So he ain't quitting. Mind you, he may be saying to himself, man, I know I'm out of here in 3 months, and thank God I know I can get another defensive coaching job with Pawtucket State or Oregon Tech.
Shouldn't have got the job in the first place.
He never should have. I mean, really, I know, I'm sure Eric could probably go, oh, I wish you could have had him. But mind you, they had a chance to get Herman Edwards, who's a pretty good football – can be a good football coach. I would think people would want Herman Edwards before they wanted Rod Marinelli. At least he has some experience. There's nobody out there right now that you go, God, I hope the Lions get him. Because Lane Kiffin may be a good coach, but I know he's headed for the NFL. He's going to be in college next year somewhere.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago when we had Aaron on the air, and, you know, he made his comments about Herm Edwards. Look, you know, Herm Edwards has gotten squat to work with in Kansas City. When you're quarterback, you're trying to scratch your head and figure out who's going to be your starting quarterback, and your choices are Brody friggin' Croyle and Damon Heward. Are you friggin' kidding me?
Isn't Croyle starting this weekend? I think I saw
Who cares?
You know, really, we should help Yunkin out, and we should send him to Kansas City and get a tryout.
For what, to be carried out on a stretcher?
He could get that NFL salary and get that pension.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know if you've been following Coach, but Brandon Carr is doing pretty decent out there.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'm very proud of Brandon. Should have started him from the beginning, but, you know, that's another story. Since we've been segued into the National Football League, you know, how smoothly are we go from the WNBA to the NBA, and then it seamlessly goes into the National Football League without even an eye blink.
Because some of the women in the NBA can probably play in the NFL.
How about them Dolphins?
All I have to say is Ronnie Brown is probably the best fantasy pickup I've made this year. Shy of Kurt Warner. The Dolphins are just, I don't know if people are still thinking that they're the same Dolphins as last year. They'd have to realize that the Detroit Lions are the Dolphins of last year. You know, they just, they're going to get better. Nobody's going to win one game every single year.
Now, and who said to watch out for the Miami Dolphins a few weeks ago?
I mean, it's hard not to improve on a winning season.
Yeah, but I'm talking about who said to watch out for them.
No, you said.
Did you actually think that the Miami was going to come out the first part of the season and beat New England and San Diego?
No, but you know, New England ain't the New England of, you know.
New England's 3-1. I mean, y'all know why people are dissing New England.
I'm not dissing New England, but you have to admit they are a completely different team with Tom Brady.
That's true, but like I said, they're 3-1.
I think this is still
one heck of a football team.
Yeah. Oh, and I think the thing with New England was just the offense that Miami was running just completely had them baffled. I think they just did not, that whole direct snap aspect of it just completely had New England screwed up. I mean, that and the fact that their linebackers are all, 60-plus now?
So, I don't know why, you know, and it's such a simple play. I don't know why that is, that it does that. But you recall when we had to go to that when we were in Lima the last game of the year, that really discombobulated the Warriors, too.
And the thing about it is they did it this past weekend, and it still works. And I don't understand how, okay, if they did it that successfully against New England, that was, week two? This is week five. You've got 3 weeks to look at this. Why have you not figured out how to counteract it yet? That escapes me. I have no idea how you can have 3 weeks to prepare for something that still can't stop it.
I mean, how dumb are defensive coordinators when you see the running back get in the backfield like that, and the quarterback goes out, why you don't put 9 people in the box right away and just blitz? It's beyond me.
Yeah,
the quarterback just ran out. Okay, I dare you to throw the football on one-on-one coverage because one of them is the quarterback. You ain't going to throw the quarterback. If you could complete the pass, your running back to a wide receiver, more power to you.
I think the problem is as a defensive player, when you're in the shotgun, you're trained first of all to expect a pass, and the second thing is that you're trained to put your attention first of all on the quarterback, and it really doesn't take all that much of a movement some other direction to fool the guy when his eyes are trained on, okay, I got to get to the quarterback. You know, that's just what I think. I don't know how true that is or anything like that. But you really have to take your hats off. I'm not saying that the Dolphins are going to be a playoff team or whatever. And I said that a few weeks ago when I first mentioned this. I'm not saying that they're going to be a playoff team or anything, but this is going to be a vastly improved team, and they proved it these first 4 weeks of the season that they played, beating the likes of the Chargers and the Patriots.
They beat the two teams that are in the AFC Championship game last year. I mean, hats off to them. I mean, they're obviously doing something right. Say, you know, you can say the Bill Parcells, you guys, I don't know what it is, but they're doing something right down there.
Strong presence in the front office.
You're right. It's a novel idea. It starts at the top and works its way down. That's all it does. That's a news flash to everybody. Wow. it starts at the top with your management, works its way down to the coach, and then you're successful. Wow. How does that happen? I mean, if you're in Detroit, how can you fathom? If you're William Clay Ford going, wow, they have a smart football guy in the front office who hires a coach with the same mentality who doesn't really need to do much but has a little innovation with his offensive coordinator to add a little trickeration, and all of a sudden, wow, you're a little successful. You've improved already. Wow. How do you... You're a genius.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Next thing we're going to talk about in the National Football League, the meltdown at Reliant Stadium Sunday. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory were the Houston Texans. Three touchdowns in a little over a minute by the Indianapolis Colts. This team looked dead in the water. And really, they looked dead for the season.
And Marvin Harrison made one of the absolute sickest catches I've ever seen.
That was
Reggie Wayne. Marvin Harrison. That was Reggie Wayne.
Was that Reggie Wayne? Oh, it was one Reggie Wayne. The other, I'm thinking Martin, because Marty Booker had a sick catch too in the Lions game. But I think, honestly, I think Sage Rosenfeld, he was just trying to do too much. You know, it's diving instead of sliding. You know, not being aware of, you know, of the backside blitz enough to tuck the ball away. I think he was just trying to do too much. He thought, okay, we got to win. We got this game won, but I got to make sure, you know, okay, they just scored on my fumble. Now I got to, you know. I think he just tried to do too much, and it backfired on him.
And that, to me, is just it is an instance of the mentality that's ingrained in a team like the Houston Texans or the Detroit Lions or the Oakland Raiders right now, as opposed to a team like the Giants or New England or Dallas, who expect to make plays and expect to win. Teams like Oakland, Detroit, and Houston are hoping to make plays and hoping they get in a position to win.
See, and you get it with backup quarterbacks. You know you're not going to get too many opportunities to come into a game and keep your job. And I'm sure that, you know, being up 27-10, you keep the ball run off the clock. How could Kubiak not say to him, I know that Schaub was sick or whatever, but we just beat the freaking Indianapolis Colts. It could have been 27-10, it may be worse. How can we sit this guy? And he goes and makes two plays where, okay, the one where he got spun around like a helicopter, if he just slides and it's 4th and 1 and 4, you kick the ball away and go, okay, Peyton, go ahead and drive 90 yards. It's still 27-10. And he just, sometimes you got to think more of, okay, our defense is playing at least well, we've held them to 10 points. Let the defense win the game for us instead of one person trying to make plays, and that was his problem. He figured that he had to carry a team when he didn't have to.
Yeah. This is like Lon says, you know, he's feeling he's having to make plays, and he's just not that kind of player. You know, he's not Peyton Manning. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Brett Favre or any of those elite quarterbacks. Sage Rosenfeld is one of those guys that, look, you know, just keep your hand steady on the wheel and don't lose this game for him. He tried to make plays and he ended up losing the game for them.
But, you know,
and there are teams. Go ahead, Lon.
I was going to say, and I will give him credit. I mean, there's really nothing else he could have said, but, you know, he came out and said, you know, I lost this game for us. I cost us the game. And that was it in a nutshell. I mean, like I said, there wasn't much more he could say other than that. But I think it just comes from inexperience. I think it's just, you know, just being
inexperience and a losing mentality that starts in the top and works its way down. Now Kubiak has done, he's done the best as he could do on that team, but they still don't have a lot of talent on that team. Particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
They're getting it in spots. I mean, they got two okay receivers. Slayton's going to be a pretty good running back. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to have to be like the New Orleans Saints. They're going to have Slayton, who's going to have to be the one on the outside. They're going to have to find a back to run between the tackles. They're starting to get pieces together on defense. But it's going to take another draft, maybe two, for them to be competitive. And mind you, they're in one of the toughest divisions in football. They're in a division with Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee. I don't
guaranteed to finish last every year, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have to have an incredible season to make the playoffs in that division. Same thing with the AFC North, with the Steelers, and when the teams are playing well, and that's all the teams are evenly matched. That's a tough division. But now the toughest with Cincinnati and Cleveland struggling, and Baltimore really not that good. They're okay. The AFC South is probably one of the toughest divisions in football.
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I got a question for the both of you, though. Is the city of Nashville giddy or what? They got the undefeated Titans. I mean, can you say that three times fast? The undefeated Tennessee Titans. And if that's not weird enough, the undefeated Vanderbilt Commodores.
Okay,
I can barely get that out of my mouth without going.
What? Auburn. I think Auburn and Clemson are one of the two most overrated, overhyped football teams this season. Auburn's offense is terrible. I think they go and fire their offensive coordinator in the season. Now, you have to be a pretty bad offensive coordinator to be fired five games into a year. For the first month of the season.
Five games into your first season.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an offensive coordinator, you're fired in the first month, then you're pretty bad. And Tuberville changed his offense to get this guy, to run the spread. I mean, that right there, at Clemson, those two teams are just terrible. Auburn is okay. I mean, Vanderbilt had their backup quarterback come in the game on Saturday.
And, you know,
yeah, that's true.
Being an Auburn fan and having been an Auburn fan for 15, 20 years now, I agree. I sit there and I watch that Vandy game, and I'm just sitting there going, and I've watched actually quite a few Auburn games, and I just look at it, I'm like, this offense is horrible. And you can't, I mean, the defense is always solid, but you can't, in the SEC now, you have to be able to put points on the board. When you got the Floridas, you know, Alabama's putting points on the board. They got to do something because they're dying right now. I don't even know, are they still ranked? I think they are still ranked.
Yeah, they're pretty ranked, all right.
I mean, but I think they're still top 25, and I don't understand it. I mean, they've lost two games. And I mean, I know they got Alabama coming up, but I mean, just in that league, in that conference, you cannot have a stagnant offense. And that's exactly what they have this year. And I'm just, it's terrible.
The SEC is one conference that if you don't score 21 to 24 points a game, you're going to get run over. Defenses don't win championships in that conference. You've got to have an offense. You're not going to win games 14-9 in that conference. You will get run
not
over.
Anymore.
Teams will blow
not
you
anymore.
Out. Yeah, teams will blow you out. If you cannot score, teams will blow you out.
So here's the question about the teams from Nashville, Tennessee. Are they as good as they seem?
As a Titans fan, and you know, have been for a long time, I'm waiting for somebody to pull the rug from up on them. I think they're living on borrowed time right now. I mean, they were in a dogfight with Baltimore this past week, and that game was given to them because that roughing the quarterback call was just a terrible call. They were given that game, and I think they're living on borrowed time. I mean, I think they may win 9-10 games this year, but I don't think they're gonna. I think they're gonna sputter and die here pretty soon. It all depends on how healthy and sober Kerry Collins stays. And you know, if that isn't the case, what's Vince Young gonna do if he gets put back under center? So, you know, as far as Vandy, I don't really follow Vanderbilt too much. You know, I watched them when they beat Auburn and everything, and you know, they look decent, but I mean, in that conference, anything can happen. Honestly, I don't see them finishing undefeated, but I think they're going to have a halfway decent year. But I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening here, you know, in the following weeks as well.
What about you, Bill?
Well, I think Vanderbilt is gonna find out here in the next few weeks about that. Now, mind you, I think Alabama's good. I don't think they're as great as people say, but I think they're a solid football team. I think Vanderbilt, when they play Alabama, that's where you'll know where both teams are. That will be a good football game. As for Tennessee, they've had a very favorable schedule so far. And have overcome some obstacles with Vince Young deciding not to tell his mama where he was going when the streetlights were on. And overcame a lot of it. But mind you, they still struggle offensively. And how far can Kerry Collins take you? That is the thing. And I think once the part of the schedule comes, they're going to be a team that may win their division and have 10 or 11 wins, but we won and done in the playoffs and may lose to an Indianapolis team that's maybe 9-7, because it'll be playoff time. You could see that. You could see a wild card team like maybe a Jacksonville, or maybe if the Jets make the playoffs and beat them. That's what it looks like.
All right. I'm going to take a quick break here, and when we return, we're going to discuss people that may be on the trading block as the trading deadline nears in the National Football League, and discuss our pick'ems from last week in the National Football League and the games that we got to pick this week. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and Ucaster.
This is Joey Arthur, tight end of the Mount Carmel Fire, and you're listening to The Locker Room on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network.
Happy's Pizzeria, swings and jumbo shrimp taste great. Happy to live, as Happy's open late. Be happy, Happy's Pizza. Be happy, it's all good. When you're hungry, real hungry for some yummy food, shout out to Happy, cause it's all good. Be happy.
Happy's Pizza has 3 Flint area locations, including their brand new location at Miller Road and I-75. Ladies and gentlemen,
protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight.
Protocol has been established.
It seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Protocol has been established. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like that I have the red ass tonight. Yes, I do.
Protocol has been established.
Yes, it has. Protocol has been established.
You know!
I ain't had the red ass in a while.
That's a good thing.
If I would have kept talking about McCade, you would have got the red ass.
See, you keep trying to get me to talk politics, and that's a no-no, man. That make people fight. I ain't talking politics on no sports show. I don't want me cussing on this here radio. Next item we want to explore with 30 minutes to go, the trade deadline, upcoming trade deadline in the National Football League, and what players. I actually have a list of players that I got from Yahoo Sports and potential destinations, and I'm going to throw some of these names out to you and let you guys chew on them and see what you think of them, all right? First guy on the list is running back Larry Johnson of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yahoo Sports said that he is spoiled and not a leader. Potential teams, Denver, New England, and New Orleans. Discuss.
I don't see why New Orleans would even consider him. They got Deuce McAllister and Reggie Bush. I mean, that's a great 1-2 punch right there. I mean, Reggie Bush was just lights out Monday night. Denver, from what I've seen, it kind of looks almost like a running back by committee type thing. You know, it's just, it was kind of, I was looking at the stats the other day, but it was from the Tampa Bay game. So, I mean, I imagine that the Tampa Bay defense put the smash on their running game. New England, Kevin Falk, you know, he's still semi-dependable, I guess. So, I mean,
You know, but Falk's more a third down, right? You know, guy to come in for the passing game,
right,
on third down.
Right. So, you know, just honestly, I don't think.
And Maroney, isn't Maroney injured?
I believe so, but I'm not sure.
Bill, isn't he?
I don't think he is. I think he just doesn't play a lot.
Yeah. So what do you think about LJ, Bill?
One of the hardest things to do when you hardly see him is trading in the NFL during the season. You really don't see it. One, you do not trade in your own division for one. So he's not going to Denver. I mean, why New Orleans would want him is a mystery to me. And I can't see – New England's problem is not on offense. New England needs help defensively in the defensive backfield. That's where they need the help. And their linebackers are still slow. So I can't see why they would want a running back.
Those linebackers are old.
Old and slow. That's a bad combination. That's like being ugly, old, and lonely. You know you're in a world of trouble then.
Oh, they can trip people up on that off-tackle play with their cane. But do you think Larry Johnson stands a good chance of being traded?
No,
not unless they base it on that one game that they figured out how to lose. Anyway, no, I don't think anybody's going to want him. You know, not in any starting, you know, carry the ball 20, 30 times a game capacity. I don't think so.
Next guy is defensive end for the Lions, Dwayne White. They say he's not a great player, but he can help out in any rotation. Potential destinations include anybody except the Giants, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville.
Would anybody actually trade for a member of the Detroit Lions?
Oh, sure.
I mean, what do you trade for him?
Well, I'm not saying him, but you know.
what do you offer for? I mean, he's one. If you watch Lions games, you hear his name, you know, quite a bit, you know, called defensively. But he hasn't done really anything that stands out to me that would make it seem like any team would want him.
And thank you, Mr. Aaron Matthews, for letting us know that Maroney is indeed hurt.
You have a general manager who probably is just having that by title. He's not, I wonder if he even has the authority to make any personnel decisions anyways. Why would you trade a guy that just got here? I would think if you're a Lions and you're going to make any trades, you're making them after the season's over to acquire draft picks. Because there's really no one that you're going to get of any kind of value. Because no one is going to trade you. I'm sure he's probably on this word, but no one's going to trade you a player for a player like that. And you're going to want draft picks. You're not going to want player on player.
Yeah, I agree. Next guy is another Detroit Lions. What's that?
I just saw it scrolled on the bottom line that Kitna may not play because he has a bad back because he has no spine probably.
You know, I thought it was. But you know, speaking on that real quick, I thought it was real funny that when he got pulled Sunday, I'm almost willing to guess that he called one of those little trainers and says, "Hey, can't come over here and put some ice on my back and make it look like I'm hurting. That's why they pulled me. No, they pulled you because you're terrible." Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Marinelli probably looked at him and went, "That one." There, that's my only political thing that I'm saying tonight, all right? That one. Roy Williams of the Lions, wide receiver. Let me say this about Roy, and this has always been my criticism of Roy Williams. The guy is a hot dog. He doesn't always play hard. And to watch him in a 31-0 game make a first down catch and treat it just like he just won the Super Bowl is just disgusting to me.
Yeah, that was kind of silly. Because, you know, if I was on the other team, when he pointed at the first down, I would have pointed at the scoreboard and told him to go light up.
I would have laughed at him.
I mean, yeah, you pointed at the scoreboard, then you laughed.
I mean, what an idiot. You know, act like you've done this before. Act like you've been there before. Act like you've got a first down before.
He hasn't. That's why he does it.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough game Sunday.
Well, I mean, he'll catch 5 or 6 passes a game, but he'll drop another 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I agree.
He's not anywhere near as good as he think he is. But the potential destinations for Williams includes Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and Minnesota.
Okay, where would he fit in Dallas? I mean, then you got him and T.O. both crying. You know.
Maybe they could get married.
And, you know, if Roy Williams has made it, it's no secret if Roy Williams wants to go back to Texas or South. He's been saying that for, what, the last season and a half? And I think that's a big part of his problem. He's just, he doesn't want to be here. He's not happy, so trade him. Get rid of him. Let him, you know.
Well, you know, his contract is out this year, too, so do you get rid of him to get something in value? Or do you say, well, you know, your ass is here and finish out the year, and most assuredly, he's going to walk away if you don't put a franchise tag on him.
You know, I'd honestly make him wait out the year because I think that they would be able to get more for him after the season, like Bill was saying, because they're not going to get anything for him right now.
I mean, but his contract is up.
I mean, contract's up, you know. Oh, that's right. So, that's kind of a hard call. I mean, you know.
Like I said, unless you're thinking about putting the franchise tag on him and keeping him, I'd see what I can get in the open market for. You're not going anywhere.
I think
that
one person, he could get the franchise tag put on because they can't afford to lose him. As sad as it sounds, they cannot afford to lose him because they need playmakers. I mean, so the coach that comes in here, the next coach, one is going to have to be an offensive coach and have to have things opened up. And they're going to need the guys that they have on offense, the wide receivers. I mean, Kevin Smith is going to be, if they get any kind of run blocking, he's doing it right now. All this is on his own. He's like, you think he's back in Central Florida. All this he's doing on his own.
They had an offensive coordinator that opened it up. They got rid of him.
Right, but who got rid of him?
I know. I'm just saying. They had a guy that fit the bill that you're talking about. He's, last I heard, he was OC for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep, I knew that.
You know, if Roy Williams say, you know, something, and he does end up in Dallas, how do you spread the ball around? you know, you can tell Roy Williams, okay, you're going to be third option receiver, or second option receiver, because T.O. is the man. Then you tell T.O., okay, we got Roy Williams, so you're going to be second option. It's just, that's just, I think that's just two egos that are way too big to be in the same place. I think that's part of the reason why
but Keyshawn but if you're Dallas, if you're Dallas though, line, do you rent him for a few months to try to get to the Super Bowl with him? And then, you know, if it isn't a perfect fit, you can always let him go after the season is over. I mean, is that going to be some kind of situation like that where Roy Williams is going to be traded and just be a guy for hire for a few months for the rest of the season?
I could see Jerry Jones doing that, but, you know, it's just, it depends on how much Jerry Jones wants to listen to T.O. cry. You know, because he's already crying about not getting the ball, so then they bring in another quote-unquote premier receiver. And so that's T.O., that's going to translate, oh, that's less touches for me. You know, 19 a game isn't enough, even though I dropped 7-0. You know, I think
Jacksonville would be a good destination for him.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Like I said, he wants to go south. He wants to be close. He wants to be in Texas or closer to Texas. I'd say, you know, everybody knows that an unhappy player is not going to perform well. That's a proven fact. So just, you know, get what you can out of him. That's the way I look at it.
Next guy on the list is Bengal wide receiver T.J. Houston-Zada. He's also going to be a free agent. And it's probably a lead pipe cinch that the Bengals are not going to pay him the money that he wants. Potential destinations include Dallas, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Buffalo.
Him
on the other side of the ball with Lee Evans, other side of the formation with Lee Evans in Buffalo is a very intriguing thought.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, depending on who's – did Trent Edwards ever wake up? Because he got whacked.
Yeah, you know, sort of. I don't know whether – I don't think he's going to play this week, though.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, is having Houston-Zada there, yeah, that does, you know, sound like a good receiving tandem, but, you know, how far is Trent Edwards going to get you? You know, how far – you know, it's just – and then is the next going to move in to get a premier quarterback? So, I mean,
I asked both of you this. Do you think that is with Trent Edwards getting hurt last week, do you think the pieces are in place with Buffalo for J.P. Losman to just come in and be a seamless transition for however long it is?
Well, you got to remember, too, with these guys that are out there, they're all big-name players. Do you really want to mortgage your future and give up draft picks to make a run at it this year, or you're going to have to give up pieces of your team that are already there? I mean, it's a catch-22, really. Do you want someone? I mean, Houston-Zada, he may be quiet in Cincinnati, but he's been in Cincinnati. That's like having a guy be in a strip club for 3 weeks out of a month and then tell him that he's got to go sit in church for 2 weeks. It doesn't work. You just can't go, yeah, okay, that's going to work. It just doesn't happen that way.
Listen,
I think
Houston, I think he would actually be a better fit in Dallas than Roy Williams would, because he's used to being the quote-unquote second receiver, you know, behind Chad Johnson, which I don't know how that works. But, I mean, because honestly, I think he's a better receiver than Chad Johnson.
Neither one of them catch the ball or do anything.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you got Carson Palmer throwing the ball, so, you know, and no offensive line. So it's just, it's one of those things just to see how well, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how well or how much different it is with a good quarterback. Which I don't know if I think I just called Tony Romo a good quarterback, which just goes completely against my nature.
quickly, I got two more. We got 15 minutes left. I got two more that I want to bring up. One, tight end Tony Gonzalez of the Chiefs. great player, great work ethic.
Has a hot wife.
Yeah. Being a great influence in the locker room, and you know, maybe it's time to let Tony Gonzalez out of jail and put him on a good team so he can have a chance to win a championship ring.
Hey, but you know, how long has he been in the league? I mean, Tony, he's been around for a while. I mean, how much more does he have left? You know,
I think he's got another good 2 or 3 years left. I really do. He really takes care of himself, and really, he's still playing at a high level. You just don't know it because of the people he's got that's throwing the ball to him. But he can still play this game at a seriously high level. And I think, once again, Jacksonville will be a good destination for him. They don't really have a good – correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but they don't really have a good tight end, a good pass-catching tight end. And David Garrard is a great upgrade from Brody freaking Croyle and Damon freaking Hewitt.
Dave Youngkin's an upgrade from Hewitt and Brody Croyle. Hell, I could be an upgrade from them two chumps.
Both of them put together does not make half a quarterback.
Then I have a shot.
Man, so you're saying there's a chance.
You know the team I want to bring that up? Could use them? You know the team I think that could use Gonzalez, and I know they have Bubba Franks. The Jets, if they had a tight end like where you know you could put Gonzalez out to a wide receiver position, then that would work.
Jets have spent a lot of money this offseason, though. I don't know whether they can afford Gonzalez anymore. Last guy I want to bring up is Lions friend, wide receiver Chad Johnson of the Bengals. I refuse to call him that other name.
Ocho overrated?
Yeah. Is he really hurting, or has he quit on the Bengals?
I think he's quit. I think he hasn't lived up to his own hype. He hasn't lived up to his own mouth, so now he's, you know. Same thing with Kitten and that ice pack Sunday. It's just, okay, now I got to be hurt. You know, that's what's wrong with me. I'm hurt.
Overrated.
I mean, let's look at this. Besides all the gimmicks that he does, what has he done? Has he changed the game? Has he really, in the last 3 or 4 years, has he really, on that team, changed the game where they said, you know what? We're going to give up passes to Hushmanzada, and we're going to double Mr. Overrated so he doesn't beat us. No one does that.
The only thing that he's changed is touchdown celebration. That's it. That's why people know who he is. If it wasn't for that, he'd just be number 85 for the Bengals. Other than that, nobody cares. And people don't even really care about the touchdown celebrations anymore.
And, you know, this is the usual suspects that we talk about with other guys, New England, Dallas, Minnesota, Tennessee, Jacksonville. And, you know, and honestly, if I was New England, you don't know what New England's mindset is going to be. If it was still Brady quarterbacking, they would probably go for another receiver. Really try to solidify that receiving core, and if they did that, I personally would lean more toward Hushmanzada than I would Johnson.
You know what I would send Ocho overrated? You know what I would send him? Oakland. Him and Al Davis deserve each other.
Serve his ass right. Send him to Oakland. That's bad when Oakland is purgatory, isn't it?
They deserve each other.
That is where NFL coaches threaten to send players to get out of line. If you don't straighten your ass up, I'm going to send you to Oakland. Oh, God, no, not that! That's sad. Such a proud program that's really been gone to hell.
Well,
Got to give it up, Al. You got to give it up. We got 8 minutes to go here. Let's move on to our pick'ems for the week. None of us did very well last week. And we lost Aaron off the web chat. I hope he gets back on so he can make his picks. But if he doesn't get back, he's not able to get back on. We'll email him. We'll have Bill email him and get his picks. And we're going to keep a running tally here. Last week, which is our first week of doing this, Bill and Truck are leading the thing, and they're only 2-2. They were 50% this past week. Aaron Matthews of the Lyman Warriors was 1-3, and the old ball coach here, he had a donut. I cannot believe it. I could not pick not one of the four right. I'm going to redeem myself this week, though.
Okay.
So we got our thinking caps on, guys.
Yep.
First game coming up that we want to pick is Baltimore at Indianapolis.
I got to go Baltimore. Indianapolis is looking real suspect this year. I don't think Peyton Manning's healthy. You know, I think that defense is going to do things to him.
I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
I would love to pick Baltimore, but I do not think they can score enough points. And therein lies the problem. I'm not saying that Indianapolis is going to light Baltimore up for 30 points, but I don't think that Flacco and the Baltimore offense can score enough points to beat the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm gonna go, even though Indianapolis just is not playing very well, I'm gonna go with the Colts in this one. Next game, we got the Jacksonville Jaguars at Denver. I tried to pick the best games of the week, so to get you guys to think a little bit.
I got to go home team on that one. Denver is just, their offense this year is just nuts. I mean, you know, with the exception of the last game, I mean, but you know, Tampa Bay's defense is Tampa Bay's defense. I got to go home team on this one. I don't think Jacksonville can keep up with them.
I'm going to go for Jacksonville in the upset on the road.
And Jacksonville, I wonder how many times Jacksonville has played at Mile High.
I know they've been pretty successful there. I mean, they beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. This to me was the toughest of the four to think about. You know, it's tough to go into Invesco Field and beat the Denver Broncos with the altitude and all the other stuff. But having said that, you know, Bill really brings up a good point, is that the Jaguars have had some good history at Denver, and I think that they can, with their running attack, they can control this football game. I think I'm going to go with the Jaguars. Third game. This is an interesting game. New England Patriots at the San Diego Chargers. And you know, like I said, it's a very interesting game. And everybody, like I said, everybody is down the New England Patriots this year. But then you look up, and they're 3-1. And I'll bet the average football fan, you know, that when they find out Tom Brady got hurt, and they have kind of half paid attention to the New England Patriots this year, would probably be surprised to look at their record and see that they're 3-1.
I mean, that just goes to show you that it's not, you know, I mean, they're a different team when Tom Brady's playing, but they're still a really good football team even though he's out. And I think a lot of people sold him short. going, oh, no Tom Brady. Well, there goes the season. And they're surprising people, and I think that's been a part of why they're 3-1, because people have, you know, they sell them short. So, but I got to go home team on this one. I think LaDainian Tomlinson is going to start doing what he does this weekend. this weekend. You know, I don't know how healthy Antonio Gates is, but I think this is going to be LT's turnaround week. Last week was horrible, so I got to go San Diego. I don't think New England's defense is going to be able to keep up with San Diego.
I think that still San Diego's playing desperate. They got to win some football games to not fall any more behind in the chase for the playoffs. I think with San Diego at home playing more desperate, and really the other thing that screams San Diego is that New England stayed out on the West Coast all week. And how do you handle being out and not going back home for 10, 11 days? So I'm gonna say San Diego.
Once again, this is a really tough game. I really would want to say New England in this one because I really think that New England has San Diego's number defensively. But the thing that really worries me is whether they're going to be able to generate offense themselves in this game. And that, and for that reason, I'm going to pick in a low-scoring game, I'm going to pick the Chargers. And quickly, with a couple minutes to go, the Monday night game, the New York Giants at Cleveland.
This is the gimme for the week, apparently.
Well, I do the Monday night game every week, so, you know, you're going to have to cut me a little slack on this one.
Giants, no way. No way Cleveland beats New York. Not on Monday night. Not any night.
I'm going to go with Cleveland at home on a Monday night.
Because he's hoping all to hell that Anderson gets hurt so he can see his man-child go to work.
I'll be the only one to pick him, but they're going to win Monday night.
All right, I'm taking the Giants. Forget that. So that's going to be it for our show tonight. We're going to have to tell you guys one last time of our campaign to get former Admiral Charleston Hughes into the CFL All-Stars this year. He's having a great year with the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL. Go to the Admiral's website at MichiganAdmirals.com and follow the link. He's listed under the defensive ends on the Western Conference. You can vote once a day per IP address. So do it every day. The voting will end on November 1st. Don't forget, on Michigan Regional Sports Network this weekend, Friday is Friday Night Football with Midland and Flushing at 6:45. Saturday, we inaugurate our coverage of CSHL hockey with Queen City and the Metro Jets at 7:45. And Sunday, it'll be Queen City at Flint at 2:15. Guys, thanks for calling tonight. Great show as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, take it easy. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening tonight to The Locker Room. Join us next week, 9 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio and the Admirals Radio Network and UCaster. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm quiet now.